The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. They ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. This is the word of God.
According to legend, there were seven wonders of the ancient world of Giza. The Colossus of Rhodes, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, the Temple of Artemis, the Statue of Zeus at Babylon. Now, all of them would have been known of at the time of Jesus, with five of them still surviving then, although 150 years earlier. And there's doubt as to whether the Hanging Gardens actually ever existed at all. But in one way or another, gods, Egyptian, Greek, Persian, and Roman. And these seven wonders got me wondering, what 20 or so believers declared in many different languages? What did they want to celebrate? What did they feel compelled to celebrate about God's Spirit, who came so dramatically that they just spilled out of the house in which they were meeting onto the streets in praise? Now here, I thought that I'd invite a little congregational participation. Take a couple of minutes to talk to the two or three people around you and share what are the wonders of God to you. Okay? Can you do that? Just turn to those around you and try not to leave anyone out. And we might want to pause the tape for the recording for that moment. Okay, your 2 minutes is up. I have timed it. And so having had a chance to talk to one another about the wonders of God, would a few of you just like very briefly to call out what those wonders of God that you've identified are? What are the wonders of God to you?
New birth.
New birth, okay. You think of babies? Your new birth, right? I was thinking you can hear that different ways. So new birth as a believer, yep. What else have we got?
Birth generally.
Yes. It seems miraculous, doesn't it? Yeah.
Answers prayers,
yep. Healing, okay, yes. Yep.
Mm.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and there is so much variety in those sorts of things, isn't there, as well? Yeah. Oh yes. Oh yes. Definitely. Anyone else? Pardon, I missed that. Transformation in people. Yep.
Purpose.
Identity. Okay. Inner peace.
Words still going out.
Words still going out. Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else? God is always there. That's, yep. So that's a wonder, isn't it? Yeah, that's a wonder. Okay, so some good things there. And I kind of like the hubbub of noise there. I was imagining, what if you were not just sort of murmuring to each other, but you were shouting those things out? I'm not going to get you to do that, but wouldn't we have got some sort of picture of what it was like when the believers spilled out onto the streets spontaneously through the Holy Spirit in praise, declaring the wonders of God? And there are many wonders of God, aren't there? I mean, having spent myself 4 days in the Lake District during this past week, I have marveled in a few of them, not least the wonder and beauty of God's creation. And I managed to fit in what I would call one serious hike of 6 hours or so walking, traversing the length of Crinkle Crags, if you know those fells, before a further ascent of Bow Fell, which is just short of 3,000 feet high. And as I walked, I thought about this sermon and the difference between my stay in the lakes this year as compared with this time last year. This year, for my 4 days there, I was richly blessed, I have to say. There was not a drop of rain, which is quite unusual for that part of the world, isn't it? Last year, there were torrents of rain. I really had to pick my moments to get out, which was a good thing because it enabled me to do, you know, a lot of the reading I'd intended to do. This year, there was only a breath of wind with maybe just a little bit more on the mountaintops. Last year, I had this crazy idea of recording a little piece to camera, to video, that I might have showed you here on the top of the Langdale Pikes. And I did record something, but it was so windy that I actually couldn't hear what I was saying when I played it back, and I didn't think you would either. And it was so windy that I really, on the top, didn't know where my next footstep was going to land. All that was missing last year was something like tongues of fire, and I would have felt Pentecost upon me, I think. It was that violent, that strong. Well, maybe today we might know Pentecost. The apostles, along with the other believers, they've been doing as Jesus commanded them. In Jerusalem, they have waited in prayer for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus didn't tell them how long they would have to wait, but the Feast of Pentecost really was the ideal time for it to happen, the coming of the Holy Spirit, an example, I think, of God's perfect timing. Now, Pentecost is a word that's come to be associated with the experience of that day and the experiences of the Holy Spirit that people have had since. Think of the Pentecostal church, one of the largest movements of Christians in the world. We hear the word Pentecost. We think of that day. But Pentecost existed before that day. It was, in fact, the middle one of three annual harvest festivals celebrated by the people of Israel. And you can read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. It also became known as the Feast of Weeks because it was seven weeks after the Passover feast. And 7 weeks is 50 days if you include the day at either end. Hence, Pentecost, meaning 50 days. So Pentecost was first and foremost a harvest festival. And there's something rather appropriate about that, don't you think? Because what a harvest there was on this day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Many people filled with the Spirit, and more than 3,000, we're told, were baptized as believers in Jesus. To which we can sort of gasp in amazement, really, say, wow, and may God give us such a harvest today. And there was another way in which Pentecost became important. It had become important by the time of Jesus, because by his time, it was observed as the anniversary of the giving of the law by God to Moses, which was believed also to have happened 50 days after the Exodus from Egypt. So Pentecost was an important occasion even before the events of Acts chapter 2. And many, many people would come to Jerusalem to worship God at this time, to celebrate the harvest and to renew their commitment, their covenant before God. And that's how come there were people from so many different places, of so many different languages, united in that Jewish faith, hearing the wonders of God sung in their own languages. That's why there were so many of them around to ask the question, what on earth does this mean? This outpouring of praise, this fact that we hear these Galilean believers with no particular education, probably no particular linguistic ability, declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. But what are the wonders of God? We've heard you suggesting some of those wonders of God. We sung of some of the wonders of God in this service. Let me start with saying this. You are a wonder of God. You are a wonder of God. Not everyone knows it, but actually I think every human being is a wonder of God. We've reflected on that in whoever said the miracle of birth, of biological birth, of just that simple act of creation. And the psalmist realized that many years ago when he said, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. And we might look around at one another and say that, well, some of us are more fearfully and more wonderfully made than others. But we are made, aren't we, in the image of God. Male and female, we are created. But also every Christian believer is especially a wonder of God. During my time away, I was challenged by this quote from Augustine of Hippo. He was a bishop, one of the early church fathers. He often gets quoted. And he said, and I'd not heard this particular saying before, he said, a Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. And I kind of like that. A Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. Except I want to disagree just slightly with Augustine. He's right that we should be a hallelujah. But I think he might also have said every Christian is a hallelujah from head to foot. You know, it's not just about what we should be, it's about what we are. See, hallelujah is a word that almost needs no translation. It's been taken from the Hebrew language into many other languages around the world without change. And we've used it in our singing today, haven't we? With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. We've used it. And it means literally, praise God. Praise God is what it means. And when you first came to know Christ, the Bible tells us that there was rejoicing in heaven. We can imagine the angels themselves singing hallelujahs to God. The parable of the lost coin has Jesus talking of a widow who searches high and low for the coin that she's lost. She turns out her house until she's found it, and then she invites her neighbors to rejoice with her. And Jesus says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Praise to God from heaven. Hallelujahs. And it's quite possible that when other people learnt that you had become a follower of Christ, they exclaimed, hallelujah, it's a thing that we do, isn't it? Those of us who are more extrovert in these matters anyway. Some of us might do it more quietly. I want to say, whatever you feel today, whether you are feeling full of God or somewhat empty, you are still a wonder of God. Whatever, wherever your level of faith is at. Pentecost is for you just as much as it was for those first believers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time in a mighty way. And all of us who believe in Jesus have the Spirit. Without him, we wouldn't have been convicted of our sins. We couldn't believe truly in Jesus. And yet not all of us are full of the Spirit right now. But we can be. We can be. As another more recent man than Augustine said, Dwight L. Moody, when asked, have you been filled with the Spirit? He said, yes, but I leak. And we do, don't we? We do. We need filling, not just once, but again and again and again. So you are a wonder of God. But let me take us back to Augustine's comment. Every Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. We are a hallelujah, and we should also be a hallelujah. See, you are called to declare the wonders of God, and that perhaps is the should bit of his saying. We are called to declare the wonders of God. Now, the 120 believers did just as Jesus told them. They waited in Jerusalem for the gift he promised. They prayed constantly. They stayed together. And at Pentecost, the Spirit came on them with mighty power. They knew the wonder of God, and it spilled out of them in praise as they declared the wonders of God in many tongues. Now, if we'd read on past verse 13 of Acts chapter 2, it would have become a very long reading, but I encourage you to read it later on, or look at it now if you want to in Bibles. But Peter explained to the crowd what this meant, what this outpouring of the Spirit, this outpouring of praise of declaring the wonders of God meant. It was fulfillment of what God had promised, he said, through the prophet Joel, where God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And it says there will be signs and wonders. And Joel ends up concluding, and Peter repeats, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hear that. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, not just some who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, or a few who call, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Many of us have been praying these past 10 days for Hour 5 as part of the Thy Kingdom Come initiative. I remembered my piece of leather with its 5 knots in it, which is a reminder of the 5 people for whom I am praying who don't yet know Christ to come to know him. And even if you haven't started that now, I encourage you to do the same. We talked about that last Sunday. We launched it the Thursday before on Ascension Day. Encourage you to think about the 5. If you can pray for more, that's wonderful. But surely you can manage 5, can't you? It's not too many. Not too many to grasp. And actually, with the benefit of having time away on retreat in particular, it's given me time. I've made sure, really, that every day through Thy Kingdom Come, I've used the app on my phone that has been there. And I've followed the videos that have been produced and the short reflections that there have been. And I've prayed for my 5. We can't make people come to Christ, can we? We can't make people call upon the name of the Lord, but we can pray to God for them. Prayer is vital. And eventually, though, so is proclaiming the wonders of God. St. Francis of Assisi is famous for many things, including saying, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Many of us might take comfort in that thought because we don't feel that we're very good at using words. We're nervous about speaking our faith. We don't know what we will say. And maybe our lives, of course, we do witness through our lives, but eventually, I think, words are necessary. The Message version of Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "How can people trust, and how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if, how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it?" And as you pray for your five, God may be calling you to tell them. He may be calling you. And Peter's sermon in the second half of Acts gives us some basic points we could use as we declare the wonders of God. Peter talks about the wonder of the cross. What does the cross mean to you if you are a Christian believer? What does the cross mean to you? I mean, at the basic level, it means that Jesus has died for our sins, doesn't it? Jesus has died for our sins that we might be forgiven. For God so loved the world, we might remember John 3:16, that he gave his one and only Son to die upon the cross, that whoever believes in him may not die but have eternal life. The wonder of the cross. But Peter also talks of the wonder of the resurrection. The fact that this Jesus, who is very direct in the sermon if you read it, he talks to those that he's speaking to, says, "Jesus, whom you crucified, God has raised to life." There is the wonder of the resurrection. We can declare that we believe, perhaps more than that, we know through personal experience, Jesus is alive today. The wonder of the resurrection. And Peter also directs their attention to the wonder of the ascension, that Jesus is risen and ascended to the Father's side. And that tells us not only that Jesus is alive, but that Jesus is reigning. And if you know the Bible, you will know also that we're told that Jesus is interceding. He is praying for us at the Father's side, the throne of God. So even if no one else is praying for us, and even if no one else is praying for those who have yet to know Christ, Jesus is. But we can be part of that work in our prayers and in our proclaiming, our sharing of the good news. And then, and one or two of you did refer to this as we talk about the wonders of God, there is the wonder of a new beginning. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it says in the NIV version that the crowd, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They realized the enormity of what they had done. They understood their guilt in the death of Jesus. And they understood too what Peter was telling them, that God had made this Jesus, whom they crucified, Lord and Christ, Messiah, whom they'd been waiting for generations. And when the crowd asked Peter what they must do, he says, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I love that that sermon of Peter. It's wasn't something I wanted to go through verse by verse. It kind of jumps around. But what a tremendous change in Peter, isn't it? It goes from a man who runs away to a man who denies Jesus three times, but he is forgiven. If you go to John chapter 21, he is forgiven by the risen Jesus appearing to him. And then he is empowered at Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. And now he is completely transformed, isn't he? To preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone can be transformed through the sharing of Jesus. One of the videos, and maybe if you were following Thy Kingdom Come, you will have seen it, but I was very inspired by a video that was signposted by Thy Kingdom Come of Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew, as some of us will know, was author of God's Smuggler, which told the story of how he, from I think the early, possibly late 50s, but certainly early 60s, became involved in smuggling Bibles, particularly into Russia to start with, but into other countries that were then known as Iron Curtain countries, to get the Word of God to people that otherwise would not have it. And God's Smuggler is one of those books many of us will have read in the 70s and been enthralled, I think, by the way that God moved and God protected Brother Andrew. And for a long time, we didn't know who he was, actually. That was just a kind of pseudonym, the name by which we knew him. And he became the founder of Open Doors Ministry. And he was called home to the Lord just a few years ago now. But the video that they showed of Brother Andrew, I was very inspired by his words in that video where he said, "Every door is open since Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, because he never closed the door. He sent us everywhere. Every door is open since Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, because he never closed the door. He sent us everywhere." So I want to say to you, don't give up on your five, because it's easy to do that, isn't it? We could do it. We can pray for 10 days and then think our work is done. I know some of you are probably praying every day, and you have done for years for your family. That doesn't mean that God won't answer your prayer if nothing's happened. It just means that he hasn't answered it yet. God's timing is perfect. The door can open. And Jesus tells us to ask and it will be given to you. To seek and you will find. To knock and the door will be opened. He goes on in that passage in Luke chapter 11 saying, "If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So let's ask now for the Holy Spirit to come to us, that we may know we are hallelujahs from our head down to our toes, that we may have power to declare the wonders of God, that we may know our five or more becoming hallelujahs themselves in heaven to the living God. Can I ask the band to come back? We'll pray and then we're going to sing a bit. And just to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Not that he isn't here already, but maybe he'll come in a new way. Maybe, I pray, you and I will experience that filling of the Holy Spirit that we need not just once, but again and again and again, because we leak. So let's be still for a moment. Let's pray. think it would have been okay to listen to that, actually. Yeah, Lord, we hear those words, and here we are together in one place. We've been waiting on you these past 10 days in particular, waiting prayerfully. We want to know again the promise of your Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, to declare the wonders of God. Lord, fill us as we pray, as we wait, as we sing. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the peace of God and the love of God. Fill us with the life of God. Fill us so that we want to go to those around us. Fill us so that we can't stop proclaiming the wonders of God, that we just keep on wanting to do it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill our hearts. Fill our minds, fill our lives, fill this place. If it helps, Lynn's already invited us to do this earlier, to open our palms, holding them up towards God as if ready to receive from the Lord. And for some of us, that might be a helpful thing to do. And just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Lord Jesus, we invite you to fill us afresh. To fill us anew. As we say, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Just wait on the Lord for a few moments to just be still.